This is the fourth Sunday that we consider one of the birth songs of Luke's Gospel. We have, as you know, been having our Christmas hymns during those four Sunday mornings together. And we come this morning to Luke chapter 2, verse 30. Luke chapter 2, verse 30. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. We saw that Mary in the Magnificat speaks about the wonder of the Incarnation. Zacharias in the Benedictus thinking about the proclamation of the Incarnation. The angels last Sunday thinking about the gloria of the purpose of the Incarnation, first to bring glory to God, secondly in salvation of men. And now with the Nunc Dimittis, as this is called, the Song of Simeon, we come to the result of the Incarnation. And as I indicated in our reading, this took place some time after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, at the time of this incident, he would be about 6 weeks old. But we bring this all into the same, as it were, category, as it were, as the others, because you remember that Zacharias was before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly regarding the birth of John the Baptist. And Mary, of course, was the announcement of his coming. Mary and Joseph have now brought the Lord Jesus Christ into the temple at the ceremony of presentation and of purification, which was according to the Jewish law. And you'll notice that they bring the offering that was prescribed by the law, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, which was the smallest offering that was allowed, the offering which was made by the poorest of the people on the birth of the Son in this way. The days that have passed would be varied if it had been a girl, but with a boy it is 41 days roughly from the time of birth. And so we come to look at this presentation and see that Simeon now is looking down, as it were, the days that are ahead as a result of the Incarnation. Look at his character just for a moment as we've looked at some of the others, at the humility of Mary and the office that Zacharias had, of course. And we read concerning this man in verse 25 that he was a just man. In other words, he was living a good life. We read that he was a devout man in the same verse, which tells us that he was a God-fearing man. The two don't always go hand in hand. A person can't be good without being God-fearing. Then we find that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he was living an expectant life. There was something still ahead to which he looked. And then we read that the Holy Ghost was upon him. And so we find that this man was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit, whose life was filled with the Holy Spirit. And to such a person, of course, God could reveal himself. The fact that he was an upright man and God-fearing, that he was anticipating something, and that the fact that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. To this man, God came on this great occasion. And so we find that the consummation of all his life is found in this incident in the temple. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. First thing I want to point out regarding the result of the Incarnation as it was revealed to Simeon is that it brings the message of complete salvation. Complete salvation. What was Simeon waiting for? Verse 25, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Language which perhaps sounds rather weak to us, and we might say to ourselves, what's it all about? And here again, the knowledge and understanding of the Old Testament message must come in. Because the consolation of Israel is none other than the coming of the Messiah. The event to which the Old Testament prophets were constantly pointing. And not only the prophets in the books of the prophets, but also the psalmist prophetically spoke, turning forward, as it were, to what would come, and one who would come, consolation of Israel. And this is brought out when you look at verse 26. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, and he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So put these two verses together and you have it. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel, and God has said that the consolation of Israel is to be the coming of the Lord's Christ, which was the anointed one, which was the Messiah, looked for through the ages. And as through the years of prophetic writing and declaration, there had been those who had longed with a heartbreak when their national life was at a low ebb, when they were threatened, when they were overrun, when they were persecuted, when they were decimated by wars, longing for this thing. This is what they looked for, coming of their Messiah. And nobody had seen the coming of the Messiah, but now Simeon, how highly privileged he is. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And I'm quite sure that when it came, the event far outreached all his anticipation. Maybe Simeon was like the others originally, for the concept of the Messiah was one who delivered. And this is where you get the word salvation coming in. And yet he sees that this child is the complete salvation or deliverance that God has promised. And it was a very hard thing for these Jewish people to realize and to accept. But the one who came into their midst as a baby was the Messiah, God's anointed. They had looked for a king, they looked for the promised prince and so on. This complete salvation. You'll notice that it is something that is declared to the world. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Jewish people look for their Messiah, yes. But Simeon says now this is something that affects the world. Something that's gone beyond the bounds of Judaism. It wasn't a hidden coming. It was something that became public in Jerusalem, of course, and later on in the world. And have you noticed how in verse 32 there's the worldwide aspect? Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. This man by the Holy Spirit is saying something which is beyond the knowledge and understanding of the Jewish people of his day. He's saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is to be the glory of the people Israel, the Messiah, but he's also to be a light to lighten the Gentiles. In other words, that his coming is going to affect the world, not just the Jewish people. They found this very hard to understand. It was a mystery that was not anticipated by the Jewish people. It was something that the Apostle Paul didn't understand, of course, when he was persecuting the church. He came to understand it later on. He wrote to the epistle to the Ephesians to say that God had revealed to him the mystery of the salvation of Christ to be to Gentiles and Jew alike, to come together into the body of Christ called the church. Complete salvation. The deliverance for which they looked was a military one or a political one. The deliverance that God brought in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ was essentially a spiritual one. It was the thing that they anticipated was on the material plane, on the temporal plane, this worldly. The deliverance that God sent was on the spiritual plane and eternal, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Simeon says, mine eyes have seen thy salvation in this baby. And as a result, verse 28, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. In other words, there was a joyous thanksgiving in his heart. Tremendous thrill that God had done what he had promised. And of course, this is the joy of Christmas for all of us. As Christians, we rejoice in the fact that God's salvation has come in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, I want you to notice that this man enjoyed complete certainty. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I've already indicated that there was the looking forward by the Jewish people, and out of all the millions of Jewish people who had passed on since the days of the Exodus, right down through the centuries, right through the books of the Kings and Chronicles, the history of Israel, through the spiritual ministry of the psalmist and of the prophets, right the way down to the days of Simeon, there had been all these people, but out of these people he, not exactly alone, but he stands out as the one who was chosen to receive this full assurance. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And we need to remind ourselves, of course, that there had always been in the history of the Jewish people those who were faithful to God. There were those who had remained true to him. People like Ezekiel and Daniel, who went into exile with the children of Israel. They remained faithful to God. Remember how Daniel prayed and was thrown into the den of lions as a result. His three friends who went into the fiery furnace. Remaining true to God. And right down there had been this faithful remnant, and it was still existing at the time of the birth of our Lord. Not all Israel had gone away and gone into a dissolute religion. We mentioned here another person that we had in our reading, Anna, a prophetess. Another one who, an aged person at this time, was still one of the faithful few. And it was a few compared with the nation as a whole. And out of this remnant, as it were, Simeon now is one who is able to see that what God has done. He sees, of course, that this is the work which God has done. He has a certainty that God has at last intervened. And in verse 31 he says this, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Sees that God has acted. God has not forgotten his promise. God has not forgotten his covenant. God has acted. We saw earlier on, of course, that the Holy Spirit indwelt this man, Simeon. In verse 25, the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 26, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that his life was going to be prolonged until the coming of the one who is spoken about as the Lord Christ. So the Holy Spirit comes, and as we saw last week, the result of this coming of the Holy Spirit into the heart of Simeon is not only the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior, but glory to God for what God has done in his act of redemption. Then there is complete certainty in the heart of Simeon as to the identity of this child. Simeon is no doubt here an old man. And God had spoken to him. God had given him a revelation. That's what is said in verse 26. It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And this man had no doubt been in the temple many days. There can be no doubt that he had seen many, many infant boys presented in the temple. Jewish people were very strict, of course, especially those who were faithful, to keep the law of Moses concerning these things. And as he had received this revelation, there must have been within his heart a great anticipation. But note, in verse 27, what happened? He came by the Spirit into the temple. If he had been there on previous days, nothing had happened, but God made sure that he was there on this day. And not only so, but Simeon was responding to the promptings of the Holy Spirit as he came into the temple on this day. And what he would have missed otherwise. He came into the temple, you'll see. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, what happened? God says to Simeon, This is the one. This is the one for whom you've been looking. This is the one for whom you have been kept alive. And so you see the Holy Spirit within Simeon is able to pinpoint the one for whom he's waiting. Just as the Holy Spirit moved in the scriptures in other ways. As Samuel came to anoint David, one of the sons of Jesse, they all came before him, one after another. But when David stood before him, the Lord says to Samuel, this one. You remember that in the New Testament you have this, where Philip is busy on the work of evangelism in Syria. And the Spirit says to him, go down to the road that goes down into the desert there, that goes back to Africa. And the Spirit showed him the one man to whom he was to go with a message of redemption. And so Simeon, the Holy Spirit comes within his heart and witnesses to him that this is the one who is the deliverer, the Lord's Christ. Of course, that's what the Holy Spirit does. You'll notice that he says, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. And the word of God had come to the heart of Simeon. The promise, of course, is meant here, that his life will be prolonged until the Lord Christ came. But there's also the added thing that this coming of the Lord Christ was according to the word of God still. Not the intimate personal word to Simeon, but the word that had been accepted by these people down through the years. Complete certainty. He had seen God's salvation. In other words, he had seen what God had done for a backslidden and dead Israel at that time. And beyond this, for a sinful world. Have we got this certainty? Certainty of what God has done in Christ? Certainty that means that there is eternal life within our hearts as we accept him. And finally, this man, you'll notice, there's complete satisfaction. Complete satisfaction. And that's why it is that we look at this song and say to ourselves, why, what marvellous language it is. Let me read the salient words. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people, of thy people Israel. The words are in the atmosphere of a man completely at peace, utterly satisfied, at peace with God and satisfied in the revelation that God has given to him. As much as to say, that's all I want. Now dismiss me. He's saying these words. He held the babe in his arms and gave thanks to God. And at that particular moment, there was nothing greater in the world to Simeon that he could possibly have wished for. He was a man whose absolute, as we would say in inverted commas perhaps, ambition had been fully realized. God had said, I'll keep you alive until it happens. Simeon says, now it's happened. I'll come home to you. There's nothing further that can be more satisfying to me than to have seen the Lord Christ. And you see, this means that the incarnation had become a fact. And the Holy Spirit had led in all these various ways, had led him in his revelation concerning his life, led him into the temple on that morning, shown him now that this is the one, utterly satisfied. So you see, there was peace in the heart of Simeon, and there was a will that was utterly surrendered to God. Lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. And it's still the Holy Spirit that leads us to Christ. It's still the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes to recognize him. You see, the folk outside the kingdom of God don't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. With all that there is going on in the atmosphere of Christmas time, it's only as the Holy Spirit ministers in our hearts that we're able to see. And it's only because of this that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Complete satisfaction. I wonder how far we have peace within our hearts. Oh, we've got a world of turmoil, haven't we? We've got a world in which peace just doesn't exist. We've been through a week which has been anything but peaceful. There's all the difficulties of our own nation. There's murders in Rome by the Arabs, assassination in Spain, air crash last night, French airplane. We say, well, is there anything to which we can anchor ourselves? And it's happened in this Christmas atmosphere. And if we could only see it, this is the thing that anchors us. The Holy Spirit reveals his Son to be the one who is sovereign Lord, as well as Savior. And it is only as we have him within our hearts that there's a peace in the time of storm. There's a calm when everything is tossing. There's a certainty when things are cracking. Christian ought to be one who shows this. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And as you've looked into the Bible and as you've thought about things of Christmas message, as we've looked at these wonderful songs, I wonder whether we've come into a new understanding and a new experience of complete certainty in the faith that we profess, Jesus Christ as our Savior and as the coming Lord. The wonder of the Incarnation leads us to worship. Proclamation of the Incarnation, we saw, was fulfilling God's word. The glory of God revealed in the Incarnation as its purpose with the angel song. The final result of the Incarnation, not something that happened 2,000 years ago in a foreign country, but the final result of the Incarnation, as far as we're concerned, is Jesus Christ alive in our hearts today.